Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. If you average out preliminary data about overdose deaths from the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, you see a pattern in the first half of this year, day after day, on average, three people dying from heroin use. The number of opioid-related deaths in Maryland has more than doubled since 2010. Last year, 5 out of 6 deaths due to drugs or alcohol intoxication in Maryland were related to opioids. One method of combating the fatal effects of the opioid epidemic is medically assisted drug treatment, sometimes called MAT. Medications such as methadone can reduce withdrawal symptoms without creating the high of illicit drugs. Tomorrow we'll meet a physician who treats substance abuse with medications and hear how and why it works. Today, joining me in studio is a young woman named Christina who uses medication to treat her addiction to heroin. She's 24 years old, from Howard County, and she works with an organization that provides outreach to families and young people affected by substance abuse. Christina, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
When did you start using drugs?
Well, I started using drugs at the age of 13. And throughout high school, you know, I thought I was just being a kid. And it didn't get to the point where I was thinking I was in trouble until I was about 18. I didn't actually use heroin until I was 18. It's a common story. I started using painkillers, OxyContin, and then ended up switching over to heroin.
When you started with painkillers, was that because you actually had some issue of pain, or was it just a cool thing to use those pills?
Well, it was definitely something that a lot of people were doing, and we didn't realize how bad it was. Like, we thought there was just a very big difference between OxyContin and heroin, which now obviously a lot of people know that's not true, but at that time it just didn't seem as bad. And for me, the reason that I started using drugs has to do with the fact that I have suffered from depression. I can remember being 5 years old and feeling like something was wrong with me, and wow. I knew that I wasn't okay and I wasn't normal because I had this deep, pervasive sadness. So for me, I feel like it was self-medicating. Mm-hmm. I used to say that if people knew what it was like for me to be sober, they wouldn't ask me to be, because it was literally like the pain inside. It was literally like at times being burned alive and just these periods of intense agony, like literal agony and anxiety, and just feeling like I'm a walking wound and everything hurts so terribly.
You felt better when you were using drugs?
Absolutely. When I found out that OxyContin was a painkiller, it soothed me in a way I had never before experienced, and it seemed so easy, and it was consistent. It always worked. Well, in the beginning, of course.
That's Christina, a young woman from Howard County who is taking medication to treat substance abuse disorder. She was addicted to heroin. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Why did you move from the pills to heroin?
Around when I was graduating high school and I was getting into using the OxyContin, they were realizing it was an epidemic, and they had changed the medication so that it was like a gel, so that you couldn't like cut it up and snort it and things like that, which is what we had been doing, me and a group of my friends. Well, and also the prices skyrocketed. And I always said I would never do it. It was dirty. It was disgusting. But then somehow...
Heroin.
Yeah, heroin. Because, like, you just know it's the worst thing. Like a parent's worst nightmare, all of that. But somehow I ended up doing it. I ended up using it for the first time. And then didn't use it again for a while, but once the OxyContin and everything just got too expensive and some of my friends were just starting to do it, and it's so hard to describe looking back why I did that, like knowing, but it's just this progression that I hear from so many other people that happens, and it's really, it seems like unthinkable. Like, it seems like, why didn't I know? And I'm not sure. It just, at the time, was like a path I couldn't stop sliding down.
How long did that go on? At what point on that path did you think, I got to do something about this?
Right. Well, obviously, when I started experiencing physical withdrawal, that was a definite wake-up call, you know, to wake up in the morning and to literally be physically sick in a way that I had never felt before. When people say it's like a bad flu, that doesn't even begin to describe it. Your entire body is in fight or flight. Your brain is telling you if you don't get this, you will die. And you feel like you will, physically and mentally. And so that obviously was like a slap in the face. Turned my whole world upside down because I thought, you know, I was actually still going to college at the University of Maryland while struggling with this, and I was balancing these two lives, and I was able to convince myself for a long time that I was, you know, balancing them effectively. But eventually, it actually ended up being my parents, my family, who forced me to go to rehab the first time. So when I was 18, I went to my first rehab, came back home, started my first semester at the University of Maryland College Park. Lasted one semester. I was on Dean's list and everything. I thought I was doing fine, but my parents were like, this is not acceptable. And it was actually that summer that I used IV drug use for the first time, which is something I never thought I would do, and that was horrifying to me. But there was something so appealing, so strangely appealing. So that was another time when I was just shocked at myself and didn't recognize myself, but kept going and ended up going to rehab the second time. After I finished that rehab, I went to Pennsylvania and went to some halfway houses there. Got kicked out of every single one. It was just, I couldn't. I tried the 12 steps. I tried therapy. I tried everything. And it was just this ongoing cycle, a nightmare for me and my family.
We're going to take a short break on The Record, and when we're back, we'll hear how Christina heard about methadone and how the stigma of taking this medication has affected her. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. The epidemic of opioid overdoses swept through all parts of Maryland. No region or age group has escaped, but Baltimore and Western Maryland have been hit especially hard. This morning, we're hearing Christina's story. She's 24, from Howard County, and feels that depression helped pull her into drug use during high school. She said she went through rehab several times and tried many treatments that didn't work for her. Christina, you talked about all these treatments you tried that didn't work for you. How did you hear about medically assisted treatment?
That's one of the things that stuns me the most, is that I had to find out about methadone years into my addiction. I had tried everything. I thought I had run out of all my options. I didn't think there was anything else. I was actually sure in my heart that I was going to have to end my life because I was never going to stop using, and I was a monster, a detriment to my family and everyone around me. I was sure that I was done, that this was going to be the rest of my life. I heard a lot about Suboxone, and I did try Suboxone, which is also medication-assisted treatment as well, but did not work for me. And a friend of mine who I was actually using with told me that he knew someone who had gotten clean using methadone. And I said, methadone? Like, is that even still around? Like, you either don't hear about it or what you hear is very bad things. And my parents were going to give me one last chance, and I said, I want to try methadone. And they said, they were very skeptical because, like I said, you know, you either don't hear about it or you hear that it's bad, just substituting one drug for another. So I said, I really think this will work. Like, it has to.
And did you? I mean, were you confident it would work for you, or was it just, I might as well, what do I have to lose?
Right. Basically, I mean, I had really given up hope because a lot of people talk about having a life to go back to once they get clean, having, they used to have hobbies, they used to have relationships, they used to have a family, they used to be happy. I didn't have that to go back to. One, because I was using from such a young age that I didn't really have a life without drugs that I could look at and say, man, I wish that, besides, you know, being a child. But also because my life sober was depression, anxiety. Like, I had just been beaten down so many times, my knees on the floor, crying, begging God or someone to please help me stop, and nothing had worked. I was hopeful in a way, but I was also just didn't think anything could work. But I guess I just was hoping with my last bit of hope that it would.
And what happened?
Well, it definitely was not an instant fix. It was not a cure. I started taking the methadone, and you start out on a low dose, not even enough to actually keep you from being sick. And then they slowly work you up because you have to be careful. You have to be safe. They don't want to give you too much too soon. So it took me a couple of weeks before the methadone kept me like steady, where I wasn't experiencing withdrawal and could actually go without using and feel okay. So from there, there were a lot of things that kind of helped me to be able to be successful. For one, I started another semester, which there's different arguments. Like, some people will say you don't want to start school, you don't want to have too much stress, too much responsibility. But for me, having that responsibility and something to go to every day, and, you know, I majored in psychology with a minor in neuroscience. This was something that I loved. I loved the classes I was taking. So for me, it was extremely positive and helpful for me to stay busy. I learned that was the most important thing. I also moved up to College Park. I was living in my parents' house, and for me, that entire area was just where all my friends were, or quote-unquote friends, and people who were using, and just all the bad memories. So I moved to College Park to kind of start over with a clean slate. My family was a huge part of it for me. They were skeptical at first, obviously, but their response was amazing. I remember them telling me, like, we have our Christina back. That was when I knew that things, you know, were changing. So working, I was never able to really hold a job and go to school because it just felt like too much. And, you know, a full-time job, using is a full-time job. So it was really staying busy, having my family. I had to cut all ties. I was pretty lonely for a while there, but I couldn't speak to anyone I had spoken to before. But all of these things kind of compounded, and really it was just, for me, not focusing on how many days do I have clean, you know. It wasn't perfect. I had some trouble in the beginning. Like, I had a couple months and then slipped again. But then I pulled myself back together, and I realized from that relapse that was not what I wanted to do. The methadone actually also kind of blocks some of the euphoria when you get to a certain dose, and that was really helpful for me as well because I wasn't getting that rush that everyone talks about, and I felt disgusted. And for the first time in my life, I threw the rest of what I had away. I flushed it down the toilet, and that for me was huge because it didn't matter. I was never going to do that, throw anything away.
What about you? You described to us a few minutes ago, for years, feeling a pain of depression. What was going on with that while you were adjusting to methadone?
So that was something that didn't go away entirely. I do know that the methadone helped. I wasn't experiencing euphoria, obviously. I wasn't experiencing a high, none of that. And I definitely felt down. I definitely struggled with depression, but it never was to the degree that it used to be. And I believe that was due in part to the methadone. It was just enough to quiet my brain enough so that I could live without. I mean, I am not exaggerating when I say I spent every day wanting to kill myself. Like, I didn't go a day without thinking about committing suicide. And while I was taking the methadone, I didn't experience that to that extent. You know, it made a huge difference.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kast, speaking with Christina, age 24, formerly addicted to heroin. She's been using methadone more than 2 years to treat her addiction disorder.
And are you still taking methadone?
Yes, I am.
You mentioned people who say, well, you've just traded one drug for another. How does it look to you? What do you say to that?
I mean, I just am in disbelief when I think about that, because I know there are a lot of people out there that do still use and, you know, maybe take too much methadone and give it a bad name. But for me, I mean, the evidence is in my life. Like, I graduated from the University of Maryland. I have a full-time job. I, you know, work to help other people who are going through this. My family says they have their daughter back. I am there for Easter. I'm there for Thanksgiving. My life is so different. I'm not spending every day trying to figure out what I have to do to get money to get high, what I have to steal and who I have to steal it from. You know, what do I have to pawn? I mean, like, now when I go through struggles, my mind doesn't say heroin like it used to. It says, I need to talk to my mom. I need to call my mom. I need to call my friends. I need to relax and read or think about this. Or, like, it just doesn't go there anymore. And I'm not high. When people find out that I am on methadone, they're shocked, because I think they expect me to be, like, obviously drugged and falling asleep. And they say, well, you're so clear-eyed. You seem so normal. It's like, yes, I am. The purpose of taking methadone is so that I can be normal. I don't want to be high. I want to be normal. I want to be functioning. And I am. There's just so much to it. There's so much stigma where people tell you you're not really clean. Or if you go to some NA meetings, they'll tell you you can't get a key tag because you're not clean until you stop using the methadone or the Suboxone. And that is, like, the most discouraging and detrimental thing you can say to someone in recovery, someone who, I mean, methadone's not a magic fix. Like, I worked hard. I worked so hard and continue to work so hard in my recovery every day. And when people say, like, oh, you're not really clean, it's devastating, because, you know, someone who's on methadone, their recovery is just as real as someone who is not. Those of us like me who are quietly going about our day, you don't hear about us because of the stigma. We don't want to say, hey, I'm on methadone, because people will look at you differently. Not everyone, but it's enough to really put fear in me every day. Even doing this, like, I'm scared of the repercussions and wanting to have a career and who's going to know and what person, you know, I speak at panels and at conferences, which is there someone out there who's going to hear this and it's going to, you know, cause me issues down the road when I try to get a job. Like, there's just so much that goes on in your mind. And I mean, I know so many people are dying. I have so many friends and friends of friends and that are dying. I know 3 people who have died in the last month.
Oh my.
Just one after the other. And it's terrifying, because these are people that, you know, grew up in Howard County. You think of them as, you know, it won't happen to me. It won't happen to my kid. And it's like a dirty secret. People are embarrassed. It's still sometimes viewed as a moral failure. And I know we're moving away from that, but it can still be really, really hard.
What do you think society could do, or what could anybody do to reduce that stigma? I mean, what is it that needs to be known about medically assisted treatment that you think would turn people's attitudes around?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think that doing things like this, like seeing, like, there are so many people out there that you don't know are on methadone, people in all walks of life, in all careers, everywhere. You can't necessarily tell when someone's on methadone. And just to keep an open mind and learn about it, learn about the way that it works in the brain, learn about the way that it works on your neurotransmitters to not make you high, but to make you stable, so that you can then do the work on yourself. And just to know that there are people who take too much methadone and it makes them very tired. And there are people who still use and things like that. But there are also, it's like everything else. There are people who aren't going to do the right thing, but there are people who are. And I think that it's important to realize that those of us who are doing the right thing are very afraid. to say that we are, so you don't hear about us. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are learning not by choice because they're having it happen to their child or a family member or a friend. They're learning that way, which is not a great way to learn. It's a horrible way to learn. So I just think educating yourself about it and keeping an open mind and to make sure that people are aware of this and that the stigma can be decreased, and just talk about like the medical aspects of it and to prove that it's just like another medication that someone would take for diabetes or for an antidepressant for depression. It's trying to soothe that destructive mess that's in your brain so that you can then construct a new life, new memories separate from that, from using an addiction, and distance yourself every day from it.
So what, when you look ahead, what you've obviously lived a very dramatic situation and seem to have come out on top, and you're working with an organization that reaches out to families and helps them. Where do you see yourself going from here?
Well, I hope to, one, keep doing this, keep working with whoever I can to tell them that it does get better, it can get better. But I want to go back to school, get a master's, maybe eventually a PhD. I'm not sure exactly in what yet, but definitely related to this field in some way. And I am right now not focused on when am I going to get off the methadone, because that's another question that you get, your family will ask you, or, you know, will be something that you feel is weighing on you. When do I get off of it? When do I get off? And I am not focusing on that right now. I started recently beginning to taper off. I'm going to take my time with it and be on it as long as I need to, because it's important enough to me. So I am just going to keep going and not focus on those kinds of questions, and hopefully keep helping in some way. I mean, that's the greatest thing for me, to take this experience and really do something with it, so that I didn't go through it for nothing, and so maybe, just maybe, some like other people don't have to go through it too, which it's hard to feel like you're making a difference sometimes, but I see myself just continuing to advocate and help in any way I can.
Christina, I really appreciate your sharing this with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Christina was addicted to heroin. She's been using methadone to treat her heroin addiction for more than 2 years. She's 24 and works for a nonprofit that works with families affected by drug abuse. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll continue this look at medically assisted drug treatment tomorrow. We'll speak to Dr. Kenneth Stoller, director of the Johns Hopkins Broadway Center for Addiction, and hear how effective medications like methadone are compared to abstinence. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been listening today. Hope you'll join us tomorrow.